Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, Aquava. Unan Imports. Unan Imports. Unan Imports. They are located at 6971 North Sheridan Road, Chicago, Illinois, 60626. This two-room garden level shop specializes in arts and crafts, body care products, and clothing, mostly from Kenya and West and Central Africa. They also specialize in authentic hand-carved wood masks that have the spirit infused in them, alongside the bands made of kente cloth and mint, Rastafarian tapestry, carved wood jewelry. The body products include several kinds of pure, unrefined shea butter, as well as black soap made from the ashes of leaves, bark, and cocoa pods, mixed with shea butter or palm oil, then cured, which is noted for its deep cleansing properties. Aside from that, Unan Imports exudes an ambiance that is one to remember. Do yourself a favor. Take some time and go over to Unan Imports, located at 6971 North Sheridan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois, 60626, and see who I call Doc, Brother Al Unan. You'll be glad you did.
And we are back with the brother Royce Carr. And I'd just like to tell you that this is a very prolific artist. His singing is magnificent. His music is astounding. And at this time, with a gigantic smile, we're going to welcome brother Royce Carr with a big yay. Yay, brother Royce.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on?
Nothing going on.
Hey, everything good, my brother. You doing all right?
Yes, sir. Good, thanks, brother. I would like to welcome you to Dub Wise Talk. And truly, we are honored to have such a talent as yours. And we met you through a mutual friend by Sister Renee. And we are honored to have you again. Welcome again, brother.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me.
Now, tell us, Brother Royce, where were you born?
I was born in a little town in Illinois, Waukegan. And, it's kind of a country life, you know, down that way. It's, you know, kind of slow, small town. And where I grew up at, we actually had, you know, chickens and hogs and stuff like that. So, you know, it has grown since then, but, you know, that's my childhood memories back then.
I have vivid memories of Waukegan, Illinois. We were growing up in the church, and we would visit the church up there in North Chicago. And there was a prominent black family whom I was attached to through a girl named Vicky. Her name was McAllister, Vicky McAllister. Are you familiar with the McAllister family?
Yes, sir, I certainly am. I think I know Vicky McAllister. Yeah.
It's a small world.
You know, grew up at, I was right there in it was Waukegan, but it was right next, across the street was North Chicago. It was on 14th and Dugdale. So, you know, we stayed right there on the corner of 14th and Dugdale. Waukegan was right there, and North Chicago was right across the street. So yeah, I think I know Vicki McAllister.
She also had a magnificent, beautifully sister. Both of them were exquisite. Her sister's name was Ray, I believe. It'll come to me. But you know, those bring back some vivid, beautiful memories back from the 1970s. let's proceed on, brother. So you were born in Waukegan, and
right.
What was music like in your home, or what was the arts in your home?
Well, you know, every other black family, we had a little radio sitting in the windowsill, and, you know, we listened to a radio, you know, pretty much all day. We also had a piano in the house. My older sister played piano, and that was something that I stated to, but, you know, at that young age, I wasn't allowed to play it because all I could do at that time was, you know, bang on it. But, music, you know, back in the you know, early to mid 70s, you know, I was just a toddler then, and, you know, I had a love for music then, you know, because I'd just sit in front of the radio and just look at it, you know, like I was amazed, and I'd sing the songs that were playing on the radio. That was pretty much my first experience with music and singing, you know, at a very early age.
So now tell us, what was the tune that first resonated in your soul that made you notice that this is something special?
Well, you know, I've been listening to music all my life, and I've heard a lot of songs and, you know, a lot of love songs and things that, you know, black power and, you know, make things that make you feel good about yourself. But I'm going to say, and I've, you know, since then I've been, you know, started playing instruments and everything, but I'm going to say the first song that really hit me was when I was in high school, and the group is Sound to Blackness, with Ann Nesby. And I don't think I, at that time, I really heard of them, or, and I may have, but not really listened to them. And, you know, they were in concert at school, and the name of the song was The Pressure, or Pressure, I think. It was a slow version. It had a fast version and a slow version. And, man, I tell you, I was sitting there, you know, they're going through their set, and, you know, they get to that song right there. It's pretty much the end of the show. I think they did that song last. And it was so powerful to me, and it, like, struck a chord in my spirit. And, I just started crying because the song was that awesome. You know, it just made me feel something. And that right there, it set a fire up under me that made me just, you know, pursue my music career that much more. It put more passion into it, you know, because I wanted to, you know, have people feel that feeling and send them that message and make them feel that message that, you know, that they need to have. So that was a very good right there.
Yes. The mere fact that you wanted to share that same feeling that was given to you really exemplifies a good artist. In my opinion, a good artist wants to share and give and looks for nothing actually in return, because there isn't anything that can actually measure to what you render to the world. But that is very good that you want to share, you know, that's very good. So upon that, you say you wanted to just dig in even further and dig in harder. What instrument were you playing at that time?
The instrument that I started playing, piano. And I, you know, for a couple of years, and then I picked up the guitar. My brother played the drums. I remember I was a little toddler. You know, he had drums for Christmas, and I was trying to get on that, but, you know, of course, it wouldn't let me. That was his present. It wasn't mine. You know, I had a little Tonka truck. He had a set of drums, and I was like, wait a minute. But, I really picked up piano first, and then I went to the guitar, and then the drums, and then the bass. But, you know, at that time, I was just playing mainly piano and guitar. Uh-huh. I was kind of just, you know, fiddling around with the guitar at that time, but mainly piano. Yeah.
So were there any formal lessons, or you picked it all up on your natural ability?
Well, I did take lessons, but that was later on. I'll tell you how it started. Like, my brother was pivotal into where I am right now also, because he had a band, and I would always, you know, be in the basement, you know, listening to him practice and go to their shows, and, you know, I'd be the roadie. I'd be carrying the equipment just so I can go, you know, to give me something to do. Yeah. If you come, and you're going to do something. So, you know, just picking everybody's brain, you know, the guitar player, bass player, you know, just getting, you know, taking notes. That's all I was doing, taking notes. But, you know, it just grew from there.
So who were your early influences, aside from, you say, Sounds of Blackness?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. wow. I can't pinpoint it. you know, because from the day I started listening to music till now, you know, everybody has had an influence on me. You know, I took something from everything. You know, I listen to R&B, I listen to pop, I listen to rock, I listen to hard rock, classical rock, you know, hip-hop, you know, hip-hop and rap and all that. It's just, I mean, no, you know, another person I'll tell you that got me to playing guitar more is Prince. Prince and Jesse Johnson from the time. So those two right there really got me playing guitar because I love the way it sounds. Yeah. And you know, I'm going to go back, you know, to answer your question about the, you know, taking classes and things of that sort. I took jazz piano when I was playing by ear by myself. And then, you know, when you start creating songs and things of that nature, you really don't know chord progression. So I kind of got stuck right there. So I took jazz piano, and a couple of years after that, I took blues guitar. And you know, just went from there, just learned on my own.
Yeah. You made a very nice combination of music into your own sound. We're going to hear this song of yours shortly, but that is interesting. You had a natural talent, and you saw that you wanted to go further, so you took it upon yourself to take jazz lessons. Who was your jazz teacher?
It was at a college, Columbia College. I took, you know, those courses. I also took, you know, a little bit of classical piano also, you know, just to get that under my belt. And
yes,
it's more structured, and I kind of needed that. But, you know, after taking it for a while, I was like, you know, that's really not me, because I'm more expressive with how I play.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, classical is more structured. But you need that, you know, in cases. But,
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with the highly talented Royce Carr, neo soul artist. And we're having a good time talking with you, learning some very interesting things. So tell us, what was the jazz tunes that you would practice that honed you into who you are now?
Oh, you know, I don't know a lot of their names. It was just stuff that my brother would play and my mother would play. And, you know, when we had records back then, so, you know, we had turntables.
Yes.
And I play, you know, just like they were playing. You know, I would pretty much emulate. And that's how I kind of learned, you know, before I took classes. But, you know, I would just play those. You know, it's a lot of R&B artists that had, you know, a blues song on their album. And, you know, me, I would listen to the whole album. You know, you hear the, you know, pop song on the radio, but, you know, you go buy the whole album, and I go through the whole album and, you know, jam out with it. So it's a lot of, you know, Prince had a lot of blues songs on his album. The Time.
The Time.
You know, I listened to, you know, some Miles Davis, some horns. I played the horn in high school. I wanted to play the trumpet, but, you know, they said my lips was too big. I couldn't make the sound come out, so they gave me a trombone. So, you know, I played the trombone, you know, for a couple of years. But, yes, it's a lot of jazz artists out there that I listen to.
Let me ask you, you say you could not produce the sound from the trumpet, but you were able to do it with the trombone. How was that? So I thought they were under the basic same principle.
Yeah, they are. One of the mouthpieces, the trumpet mouthpiece, is smaller than the trombone mouthpiece. So you got to kind of press your lips together real hard and kind of go in that little hole, and I couldn't do it. You know, I just couldn't do it. So, you know, they gave me the trombone. I could make the sound come out the trombone. So they say, here, you got the trombone. I was like, oh, man. You know, but, you know, that's all right.
So are there any instruments that you have not picked up that you secretly desired to play one day?
Oh, yes, yes, saxophone. Saxophone, that's a sexy instrument right there. It's a friend of mine that plays the saxophone. You know, and I sometimes go see live bands playing jazz and the saxophone, you know, you put a little reverb on it and man, you just sit there and just do it for hours.
That is my secret instrument as well. I'm really attracted to the soprano sax, and I utilize it a lot in my compositions. So let's talk about you writing now. Tell us about the first song that you wrote that you presented to the public, and tell us how you felt. Were you anxious? Were you proud? What was that about?
Yes, well, I started writing poetry early in school. I was always doing poetry. And the first song I wrote, I want to say it was like in 86 maybe. And my brother owned a studio, and, you know, he taught me how to, you know, work the board and all that stuff. And, you know, I knew how to play the keys and all that already. So I, you know, created the song. What was the name of it? I think it was called Are You Ready? It was a slow song called Are You Ready? And, you know, looking back on it now, it sounds like crap. But at that time, it was a bomb to me. You know, it was well orchestrated, you know, and the vocals and everything was well orchestrated, but it's just one of those songs that, you can tell that it was back in that time. You know what I mean? But that was the first one. I let everybody hear it and they loved it. And I performed it at a few nightclubs and.
Hey, check you out.
In Chicago. Right. Yeah. Oh yeah. It was good. It was good. But, you know, as I am now, you know, of course, you know, when you're playing instruments and writing songs and, you know, creating stuff, you grow. You know, you should anyway. You know, you grow in your writing skills, playing skills. So, you know, I've evolved. Right. Yeah, so I've evolved a lot since then. And, you know, if I listen to it now, I probably have it on a cassette somewhere, you know, in my garage. But, you know. I used to, you know, go back and listen to some of the songs that I wrote or written and, you know, play everything and listen to it. And I'm like, wow, I'm so much better than that right now. But at that time, they were good songs. They're still good songs, but, you know, they just sound
dated.
I'm
sure they are. You know, I think you're just highly critical now because of your evolvement. So what was the instrumentation on that? You say you had background vocals. Sounds pretty elaborate for your first attempt. How old were you when you did that?
You know, I'm not really sure. But, you know, just being in that atmosphere, you know, because my brother, he produced or he had something in producing. They produced it at a studio, the Ohio Players. And, you know, he let me listen to it and he showed me how to mix the track and I mixed one of their tracks. But, you know, after it was mixed already, and, you know, they got the final cut, but, you know, he just taught me some things. But, you know, just the stacking of the vocals, that's something that really came natural to me, just listening to it on the radio, you know, the songs on the radio, because, you know, at an early age, I was listening to that. I was hearing that, you know, all the stacks and the different voices, you know, panning this way and that way, and instruments panning this way and that way, and, you know, voices, different voices each ear, you know. And, you know, that's something that I paid attention to, you know, as a consumer, you know, and that's how I write songs. I write songs in the mind of a consumer, you know.
In the mind of what?
Somebody in the mindset of a consumer, you know, somebody that wants to buy the song.
I was going to ask you, who do you write for? Some people write for themselves. Some people write for a specific audience. So you write for the consumer.
Well, It kind of goes both ways. I do write for myself. I have my own style, and I was told that by some, VPs. And, I took a lot of different styles and just, made it my own. And yeah. But it's like, I do write as, in the mindset of a consumer, but I do the stuff that I like. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else likes it too. Well, not everyone, but it's a certain demographic, or demographic of people that'll listen to it. Listen to R&B and hip hop. The hip hop era. So that's kind of what I base my music off. R&B and hip hop. It's a mixture of that, and also with jazz. I got to throw some jazz up in there.
For sure.
The album, the album is called Love, Life, and Pain, and when you listen to it, it has a mixture of R&B, hip hop, spoken word, and jazz in it. And it's awesome.
All I can say, your music is so immaculate that I had to have you on my show. And while we are talking about it, let's take a listen to I Choose Love. This is I Choose Love by Royce Carr. And we'll talk about that when we come right back.
All right, yeah, spoken word.
May I have your attention, please? I have some things I'd like to get off my chest and express. Seeing that we're all gathered here for entertainment, let me jack into your cerebral cortex. I wonder what I'll find. Sleepers sleeping, dreamers dreaming, hate lies and crime. See, a person that is spiritually alive can see some of the souls walking around. Lost. We're all intertwined. If you go back far enough, you'll find we're all brothers and sisters of the same kind. Our Father, He breathed life into us. Now here we are taking what He gave us. What gives you the right to smite? And single mothers left to raise a child in a house filled with hate? Where's their protector? Where's their positive influence, their role model? Do I need to say? You've seen the news, the videos. That's your entertainment. See, our minds have been colonized to make us act a certain way, but that's on another level. I'll leave that to my protege. See, now we're focusing on love, life, and pain. The love that was given, the life that was taken, and the pain that was endured to give you grace and mercy. I'm not saying I'm doing the most. We all fall short of His glory, but most of us aren't even close. What are you doing? I love you. No, you don't. True love requires sacrifice, and you sacrifice nothing for me. That's what the Spirit of God said that lives in me. You hear yours speaking? Maybe you were too busy being entertained. I've lost. Lost in love, lost in life, and there's a funny thing about pain. If you're spiritually asleep at the right time in the right place, pain, either mental or physical, will awaken your spirit. Like ice cold water being thrown on you at 3 in the morning, jolted awake. A moment of clarity before your spirit goes back to hibernate. It's telling you, you're doing wrong. More love. A quote to a song, 8 Ball and MJG. You know when I realized I was doing wrong? When I wrote the words to this song. Now I write more. My spirit, at last I can hear it. We have deep conversations, and I come to the revelation that selfishness is not the way. You'll always want for self. Sometimes you have to give first in order to receive. Love begets love, life begets life. And, well, you know the rest. I choose love.
That was I Choose Love, Brother Royce Carr. Let's talk about that song. When did you write that?
I wrote that song last year. And there's a little story behind that. That song, actually, I wrote it, but how it came about is very interesting to me still. I would say I was about 80% of the way through my, through completing my album. And, you know, at that point I had all the songs written out, you know, the lyrics and everything. You know, I was creating the music and all of it was pretty much done. I just had to, you know, stack the lyrics and, you know, do the lead vocals and all that stuff and maybe add a little more instrumentation into it after that. But that song there, that was actually a different song. I had different lyrics to that. And when I stepped to the mic to say the lyrics that I had written down and memorized, something came over me and that came out. So it's like after I got maybe, you know, 80% through, you know, saying what I was saying, I don't know where it came from. After I got, you know, done with about 80% of it, you know, I stopped. And I was like, where did that come from? And I went back and listened to it, and I wrote down the lyrics that I had said, and, you know, and I finished, you know, writing, you know, that song, and then I practiced it, and there it is. So, you know, that song, it just came out of the blue.
It definitely came from the esoteric, brother. It is a beautiful song. You know, when I listen to spoken word, I like for it to make sense and for it to be dignified. That's the first attraction to me. And when I first listened to you and your protege, Renee, I was so impressed with the organized thought process and the carefully chosen words that you use, and then, of course, the magnificent music that was involved. What time of day do you write, brother?
What? Say that again. What kind of what?
What time of day do you find yourself most creative?
It could be any given day. You know, I have a piano in my house. I have a studio in the backyard. And I mean, I sing and write everywhere. If you got a smartphone where, you know, something just hit me, and I'll either sing a song or, you know, say some lyrics into it or do a drum beat or do a guitar riff or something. And it's kind of funny if you were sitting there next to me because you'd be like, what in the world is he doing? But, it just hits you. You know, it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing. You know, sometimes I wake up out of my sleep, you know, from doing a concert. Sometimes I do concerts in my sleep, and I wake up, and that was a good song. And I go sit at the piano and, you know, find the chords, you know, chord progression and everything on it, and, you know, write it down, record it on my phone, and go back to sleep and, you know, finish it up the next, you know, day or so. But, you know, it hits you anywhere, you know, everywhere. It doesn't matter.
We have a caller here from the 262 area.
Hello, caller. Hi, how are you? How y'all doing?
Welcome to Double Eyes Talk.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes. You had a question or a comment for this magnificent artist that you've introduced me to?
Absolutely. I just wanted to say congratulations, Royce. You know, we've been through a lot. You know, it's been a long journey, but I'm so very proud of you. I didn't expect to actually be on the radio, but I just wanted to just tell you, you know, continue blessing and keep doing what you do, partner. We got this.
Oh, yeah. let me tell you all a little bit about Rhonda Renee. Because I mean, you're a part of this. You know, you've done some things. You've helped me. I've helped you. But, you know, she is somebody that I believed in, and we've done some great music together. And
yes.
I mean, You know, you've heard it. You've heard it. It's phenomenal. Yes. And you know, she's part of this. So, you know, hand claps to you.
Well, thank you. I think that, thank you so much. And I think the importance about us as a duo is that it takes teamwork. You know, we're very strong-minded individuals, separate though together. You know, it's a force to be reckoned with. So, you know, I applaud, you know, Royce and his efforts and everything he's done, because I couldn't have done it without him. And I think he feels the same way. Coming together, it just gives a chemistry that you just don't see everywhere. And we're actually getting ready to go to a TV show in about an hour now. We're going to be performing. And I just can't wait to get on the stage and just finally, you know, let the people see what we're representing and what we do, and hopefully they'll feel it. I'm really, really, you know, got my fingers crossed for that. From the universe,
oh, yeah.
I hope they just rain down on us.
There's no doubt about that.
Well, all I can say is both of you together are a formidable task. You do fantastic work together, and I am honored to have both of you on. I've had you on earlier. So what's next between the two of you? What do you guys got cooking next?
I let Rhonda Renee answer that. We got some stuff up our sleeve. I can tell you that.
The next album will definitely be for our haters. This is coming to our haters. Our haters, we coming. But all of our freaking doubted us about we couldn't do it, be ready, because we come. We're going to show you what we can't do and what we can do and what we will do. We're blessed, you know. God is on our side, and we've triumphed in some things, and we're not stopping to the very end, to the better end.
I like your music also because it doesn't lend itself for trash, and it has dignity to it. It is reminiscent of Ashford and Simpson, how classy they presented their art on the stage, you know.
It's so funny that you say that, because when we were in the studio and we were coming up with ideas on the song, I would say, he looks like me too. I was like, Ashford and Simpson, peaches and herbs. I'm more so the aggressor, more like Ike, and he's more, I'm not going to say he's soft, but I'm definitely the aggressor. So, you know, it works. You know, we have a really good balance, but, you know, and a lot of people have been saying that, and it works. It really, really works. I'm just so proud and honored to be a part of something bigger than myself, and I have the same passion as I do. So, Ron Renee is coming out August 15th. Right,
Royce? That's right.
Okay, all right. Okay, I didn't make you so fine on air. So that's coming next, and then we're going back to the studio for Royce's next album, his third album. So we're going to get to work on that in fall, and we're just going to stay relevant and, you know, start touring. We have a lot of people that's supporting us, more supporting us than not. So, you know, independent artists, we have the freedom to be who we are and not what someone wants us to be. And that's the hard pill a lot of people have had to swallow in this industry about us. We're going to do us. We're going to represent us the best way we know how. And the only thing that we can be is who we are. We're not fake about it. We're not going to do what you want us to do. We're not going to live by your terms. This is our lives. This is how we live. And this is how we're doing it. And we're coming straight for you.
There she goes.
Well, you heard it from the horse's mouth. Sister Rhonda Renee. We're looking very much forward to this new presentation that you're bringing to us. You say next month on the 15th?
Yes, sir.
Yes, around the 15th. Between the 15th and the end of the month, it should be available.
Brother Royce, getting back to you now, what would you state as essential tools to be a neo soul artist?
Well, of course, as a neo soul artist, you know, you have to have your rhyming, you know, a little singing maybe, and some very good music behind you. Some good, how should I say, instrumentalists, you know, mm-hmm. playing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because neo-soul is just what it is. You know, it's soulful music behind you, or, you know, some upbeat even. And, you know, it's just something, you need something to help move the train along, if you will.
Definitely. And can you give us your contact information? Time is passing so quickly, and we're definitely going to have you come back again. Can you give us your contact information, please?
Oh, yes, definitely. I can be reached at on Facebook at Royce Carr, R-O-Y-C-E, last name Carr, C-A-R-R, Twitter at Royce Carr 1, and Instagram at Royce Carr 1. Also on LinkedIn at Royce Carr 1. And I have a website. It's www.roycecarr.com. So I'm pretty available there. You can reach me just about anywhere.
And like the fan page, Royce Carr fan page on Facebook, so he has that too. So he has a fan page, and he does answer. He answers messages, and he's very available. And, you know, because we're just people. We're just doing our thing. We're very humble in what we do. So reach out to us. We will respond. We don't need people talking for us or speaking for us. We can speak for ourselves. We want to make sure you get the truth when the question is asked.
So in closing, what would your last remarks be to the person who's aspiring to be an artist, a young person in their teens or preteens? What would you advise them as in your closing?
Wow. One thing you have to do is work on your craft. If you're going to play an instrument, you know, you have to work on your craft. You have to study. It's not something you can just go out and just play. You have to sit at home, and you can't be able to hang out with your friends and things of that nature. You got to grind.
You are so absolutely true. You have to sacrifice a sunny day to make someone else's day sunny through your art. Brothers and sisters, we have had a blast with Brother Royce Carr and his protege, Robert Renee. And brother, we're looking forward to have you come back again. Would you be amenable to that?
Oh, most definitely.
Good things, brother. And I will send some more of your music, and I will have them upload it next time. And with that, we give you unity and love. Hotep. Hit the follow button, click it. I need all the statistics that I can get. Good things, brother.